Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
We're going through just our statements of faith as a church. What are the key, the foundational doctrines, the things that we believe as a church about God, about the Bible, about heaven and hell, about creation? And these form the foundation of who we are. We always say as a church movement, Every Nation, we say it's the mission is what brought us together. We're all on mission together. But it's relationships that hold us together or bond us together. But it's our doctrine that strengthens us together. And the Bible says it this way. Jesus said it this way. Is if you live the word, if you study the word and you live it out, then when storms come into your life, you're not shaken by those storms. So we understand the word of God. Say, for instance, we start out with the doctrine about God and who God is. And when we understand the goodness of God, and we understand how much he loves us, when we understand how faithful he is and how big he is, then what happens is when difficulties come into our lives, and they always come into our lives, when things rock us, relationships start to hurt, we have this foundation of who God is. When we face what we think are insurmountable problems, or we have these dreams that we think, I'm never going to be able to get that done, then the bigness of God comes into our lives and begins to reshape and takes us out of our discouragement and starts to encourage us. We start to get encouraged by doctrine, by saying, you know what, God is bigger than my problem. And God can restore the most broken relationship because of his love. And God forgives me no matter what, how bad I mess up. God forgives me because he loves me. And his thoughts towards me are always good. When I start to feel condemned because I've messed up, then God comes along and says, you know, I want to be good towards you. My son died so that you could be forgiven. And these are things that doctrine lays into our lives so that when circumstances and emotions and relationships go off the rails, we come back to, well, what does the word of God say? Because that's the truth. And that's what carries us through the storms and the difficulties and the challenges of life. Because God has called each and every one of you to more than you can imagine. What you imagine for your life, God has more for you than that. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that. God has more for you than you can imagine. Just encourage them a little bit. Look for someone who needs. Because it's so easy for us to sort of sink to the level of our comfort and our expectations. But scientifically, we know that we're capable of far much more than we think, physically, intellectually. And that's just science. But that's also what the Word of God says. That what God has planned for you, what God intends for your life, is so far beyond what you could accomplish on your own. But that's why God wants to come alongside us and work with us. And we understand these things when we get our roots grounded in doctrine and what the Word of God says. And that's the reason why we go through these, through the doctrines, is to help us have a solid foundation in life, to build our lives on a solid foundation that isn't rocked every time that things go bad in our lives. But we stay solid on the Word of God. All right, we good with that? So we've talked about the Bible and how we approach the scriptures. We've talked about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We've talked about salvation and the good news, the gospel. We've talked about creation. Today we're talking about, we're in number 8 out of 12, so 4 more of these. And today's the topic is missions, which we love how God orchestrates that. We're coming back from the mission trip. We got the missionaries leaving. I got pictures of eagles and camels to show you. But we're going to talk about the mission. And when we talk about the doctrine of missions, and I want to encourage you, if you're a person who loves to study, who wants to like get deeper in the Word and wants to understand the doctrine, and you feel like, okay, I want to build a life on that, understanding that, then pick up one of these. These are great. They have stories from some of the church fathers and how they've helped shaped the doctrines that we believe as a church. And we're not talking about like every nation church fathers, we're really talking about historic church fathers and the history of the church, as well as some of the great hymns that affirm these different doctrines and the scriptures. And so you can grab one of those. We have them in English and Chinese out front. But today we're talking about the doctrine of missions. And when we talk about missions, a lot of things come to mind. You know, pictures of going to places with eagles and camels and going on mission trips and people coming here to take time off and just serve. Or people like myself, some people would consider me a missionary here living in Taiwan. When I grew up American, we have a lot of missionaries actually in our congregation. Clay and Ron have been with us for ages, longer than I've been here. As a part of the church, as missionaries here in Taiwan, there's such better missionaries than I. You know, Clay speaks the language, and he's just in the community. We have Sam and Christina, new missionaries. He preached last Sunday, so that's awesome. We have Ash here with YWAM, which is a whole bunch of young missionaries here in Taiwan. Well, when we think of missions, we have all different ideas of what missions looks like. And missions expresses itself in many different ways. Mission simply means being sent on purpose. And the truth is, we are all sent on purpose because God has a mission. And actually, every church, it's not that we as a church have a mission or that I personally have a mission. It's that God has a mission, and then we are all called into missions because God calls all of us to join with His mission. So what we're doing is we're just joining with every other believer, every other church to say, let's together fulfill God's mission. Coming in together with Him. And so what is God's mission? There we go. God's mission is to restore relationship with His lost sons and daughters. You see, God, when God created, remember that our sermon on creation, God didn't create humanity in order to have a church. God didn't create humanity in order to have followers. God created humanity because, like every good parent, He wants sons and daughters that He can love and have a relationship with and train and nurture and instill character into. And so God created us to be in His image, to be a reflection of His character, to primarily to be in a love relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's God's mission, because that relationship was broken. And as I was coming in this morning, it was so fun just seeing so many parents and especially fathers with their kids. As I popped back into the kids' little nursery room there, and I saw Sam and Aliona with their little twins. And Sam had the daughter. I always forget their names, but those two little twins. And they're just talking about, oh, man, it was so tough, you know, having twins as the first out, right out the block. You know, now we're just starting to get our a handle on it. But they still, you can just see Sam's love for his daughter. And then coming in here, and there's Nathan, Sabella with his little kid Nathan, you know, and there was Jordan trying to come up on stage without Aura, and Aura just following him up, and you know, and we love that. We love, you know, God started with family, not with church. And so it doesn't bother us when kids are involved. In fact, we love having the youth up here. We love that we have a multi-generational church, because this is not some business organization. This is not some big event. This is God's family coming together. And we want to see every generation come to know their Heavenly Father. And so it's fun. I said, Mark and his little daughter, as I walked in the thing, she was trying to get to her father, and I was standing in the way. And she's like, who's this guy? You know, trying to get around me to her dad. So I had to step to the side. Then she went to go see her dad, you know. And then as I left, she got confused and thought I was her dad. And so she's crying. And then when I turn around, she realized, you're not my dad. Went the other way. Because there's just this natural affinity that fathers and kids have for each other. And that's how our Heavenly Father feels towards everyone who doesn't yet know Him. And that's our mission, is to connect sons and daughters with their Father and to help those relationships grow. So when we talk about missions today, this is what we're talking about. And this is the mission that all of us have, that we would know God and to make Him known. To grow in our love relationship with Him and to help others come into relationship with God. And there's a scripture here. We'll bust open the word. And it says, from Revelation, we get a picture back into the end of time, the end of creation, which is kind of like on a map of life, and not only our lives, but a map of humanity to say, where are we going? You know, when I've been in Mongolia and Japan this past month, and trying to get around, and you're trying to find your way around the city, you look at these maps, and it always has, you are here, and then you look for where you're going. And you need both. You need to know where you are and where you're going. And when you know where you're going, then you can map out the path to get there. And so we're going to look at, this is a picture into the future to say, here is where humanity is going to end up. This is God's intention for you and I as humans. It says in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, after this I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And I want to especially look at verse 9 here. It says, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, all tribes, peoples, and languages coming together. And that's always been God's heart. From the start, when he created Adam and Eve, he just said, multiply, fill the earth. And that's still God's heart, is that from all of the earth to the ends of the earth, every tribe, every nation, every language, sons and daughters would be restored to God. And that's why we do missions, is because wherever we live and wherever people live, we have a purpose and a mission to bring them to God. God has a heart for his lost sons and daughters, wherever they might be, to go after them. And he enlists us to go and help him with that. There's not a nation on earth, there's not a city, there's not a tribe, a people, or a language that God says, well, they're not important enough. But everyone is on God's heart, because everyone is a lost son or a lost daughter that God wants to be reconnected with. And that's the passion behind missions. And my prayer for you, our prayer for us as a church, is that in the coming year, God would restore and reignite that kind of love. That we wouldn't view church as like some community club or some event or some gathering, some organization, but really as family. Brothers and sisters, sons and daughters. And we'd view those around us as who don't yet know Christ as a son or daughter who's lost and needs to find their way home. And every parent, we always talk about this, how every parent, when you might have a dozen kids, but the one that's the focus is the one that's lost. It's like my family, we've got six, but every time one gets lost, you know, along the way, which happened from time to time, the immediate focus would be, you know, where's the lost one? And we all stop everything and we go look for the lost one. And so as a church, that's how God, the heart that God calls us to have for the lost. Secondly, God sent his Son and his Spirit on this mission. So God had this mission, God the Father, and he sent Jesus and he sent the Holy Spirit to be a part of this mission as well. They each have a role in the mission. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So Jesus coming to earth and dying on the cross for us was a key that unlocked the ability for us to be restored to relationship. Because what's happened is we've rejected God. We've chosen to follow our own way and just say, I'll make my own way. I don't need the Father. I don't need God. And that's a sad thing for any father to have their kids say, you know, I'd rather be estranged and be on my own. And that's a pain to every parent's heart. And God's heart is to restore them. But to make a way for that, because we rejected him and we've chosen our own selfishness, we're all, God's heart towards us, because his end goal is relationship. That relationship is something that we have the responsibility to choose. God doesn't force any of us to have relationship with him. But he gives all of us the ability to choose relationship with him. And Jesus was the one who came and demonstrated that to us and paid for our rebellion against God. Jesus came because we rebelled against God. There's been this sickness of sin that settled into our lives like a cancer, an incurable cancer, that will always end us up in separation from God. Because in the end, what we choose is what we'll get for all of eternity. So if we choose to reject God in this life, then we set our own course for eternity of separation from God. And the only way that we can get back to God is through Jesus Christ. Because heaven will only be people who choose God. It's kind of like marriage. When you choose to be married, it's just you and your wife. And you can't just kind of bring anybody else you want into that marriage. And you can't go out and act married with everybody else that you want and just sleep around and just say, well, we're married, so that's good. I got a contract, and now I'm just going to go and kind of enjoy everything else. That's not how relationships work. And so you and I are created for relationship, love relationship with God. And love relationships don't work by I'll sleep with you and then I'll sleep with someone else. And, you know, I don't tell my wife, I'll sleep with you 364 days of the year. And then just one day a year, I'll go sleep with somebody else. But you get the bulk of all my days. And she's not going to say, oh, you love me so much. You give me 364 out of one, out of 365. So great. I should be honored. No, nobody views that as being honored or respected or loved. Much more God. And so we've all rejected God, as it were. And we've all just slept around and done our own thing. And God, because he's holy and he's just, there's always consequences. Jesus died because of our sin, because of our choice to mess up, so that we could be restored to love with the Father. That was Jesus' role. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And Jesus came not to condemn us, but to restore us to love, because that's the heart of the Father. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So that's Jesus' heart. And that's the heart that we have. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And so Jesus came sent by the Father, but also that to send us out with the same mission. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And so the Father sent the Son, and now Jesus engages the Holy Spirit with us. And here's what he said about the Holy Spirit being with us. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And see, that's our role. That's why the Holy Spirit is with us. When we become Christians, we're not just signing up for an organization. We're not just joining a religion. We're stepping into a relationship with God. And the one who the part of God, the person of God that connects with us the most is the Holy Spirit. Because he guides us. And he's always with us. See, Christianity is a relationship with the Spirit of God, who's there to guide us and to help us. And so I was fun just on this mission trip, just seeing people step into ministering to people and how the Holy Spirit would just give them the right things to share and the right things to talk to people about. And some of them who'd never done that before stepped in and God would just begin to give them insights of ways to share and to love people. And so often people in tears just responding to the message of love that God's Spirit was giving to the ones on the mission teams. And so for so many, most of the team, I think there was only one person who'd been on a mission trip before. For most of them, it was their first time on a mission trip. For some of them from Macau, one of the guys is like his first time ministering in English, just trying to use English to minister. And yet, you know, through his struggles with English, God used him to touch people's lives. And that's what the Spirit of God does. He transcends language, ethnic, cultural barriers and allows us to minister to people when on our own we wouldn't be able to. That's going on mission. The Holy Spirit comes with us. And I love how it's always good news. And all around us are people who need recovering of sight, freedom from oppression, understanding God's favor in their lives. Lastly, God sends us, the church, on this mission. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And so God calls us then to be a part of that. And baptism is really, when it says, you know, baptizing them, it's really, baptism is just that, it's that moment of commitment when a person says, you know, I'm going to really commit my life to Jesus with an outward demonstration. It's kind of like a wedding day. You can have a relationship. You can be boyfriend, girlfriend. You can be committed. You can even get engaged. But there's something about standing up in front of everybody, like Felix is going to do next week. And saying, "I do, you're the one for the rest till death do us part." And that's what baptism is. It's just saying, "Jesus, you're the one. I've been in church, I've walked with you, but now I want to completely commit my life to you." And for you and I, as when in the mission of God is not simply to tell people how good Jesus is, but to bring them into and encourage them into a committed relationship with Christ. Because there's something about commitment that opens up our hearts to deeper connection. That's why married couples can have such a deep connection, because of the commitment that they have to each other. The beauty of marriage is that you commit to someone, and then no matter what junk you find out, you just say, "We're in this together. We're going to grow together. Good, bad, or ugly, whatever we discover about each other, we're in this together, and we're going to keep deepening that relationship." And that's what the church is meant to be. It's meant to be family. Marriage is the beginning of a family. And God's mission is to bring people into his family. And sometimes that's a long process of getting to know someone, walking together for a season before you build that kind of trust where commitment can come. And sometimes it's fast. But whether it's fast or it's long, it always comes back to that place of trust and commitment based on communication. This is the keys to a great marriage, is the keys to walking with God. And it's what our mission is, to help people trust God, to help people experience the goodness of God, to help people come into a relationship with God so that they come into a commitment with him. Because that's when our lives begin to be transformed. So would you stand with me today as we close? I love what Felix shared, how doctrine of missions is not that we go on mission trips, but that we live a life on mission. The Bible says it this way. It says we're all missionaries here on earth. We all have another home, an eternal home that we're headed towards. But in the meantime, as we walk here on earth, we all walk as missionaries with an assignment from God. To not only grow in our love with him, but then to bring others into that same love. But how that works best is when we're able to fully commit to each other. In marriage, you discover things about people that your spouse may have never shared with anyone else. And that's really the beauty of and the purpose of marriage. Is that place where you can be completely vulnerable and completely accepted. Totally known, totally loved. And that's meant to be a picture of us and God. God isn't up there with his rule book saying, "Okay, did you pass? Did you fail?" God is up there as a father saying, "Oh, you know, take a step. If you fall, I'm going to lift you up, and then I'm going to cheer you on to taking two steps next time. And if you take three steps and fall, I'm going to cheer you on, pick you back up, and I'm going to keep working with you until you can walk, and then run, and then that's, and then have kids of your own that you can train to walk and to run. And that's what Christianity is meant to be. Jesus said it all boils down to loving God and loving people. Bringing people into relationship with Him. But it does require that we come to a place of commitment and trust. And say, okay, God, what you say, the way you want me to live my life, I'll trust you. And that's a scary place too. It's a scary place to get stand at that altar and say, the rest of my life, good, bad, or ugly, we're in it together, right? If you carry the weight of those words, it's scary. Say, do I have the ability to love someone deeply for the rest of my life and theirs, regardless of what I discover? That's a good place, scary place, but without risk, there's no intimacy. So would you bow your heads with me? Father, we come to you today. And we thank you, Lord, that you risked everything for us. That before we even knew you, you loved us and you sent your Son to die for us. Lord, even though there was no guarantees that we would choose to return your love back to you, you still reached out to us. You loved us first, before we even knew you. And God, I pray that in this moment, Lord, you would draw our hearts. You said that no one can come to you except you draw them. And so, Father, I just pray you draw our hearts towards you. That we would leave our sin and our selfishness behind and trust you and receive your love, the gift of salvation through the death of Jesus. And those of us who are a part of the family, Lord God, our prayer is that, Lord, you would stir in our hearts that same passion that Jesus had when he went to the cross on our behalf, when he was sent to earth to die on our behalf, that we too would lay down our lives on behalf of others, that we would begin to sense the joy and the calling of your mission on each and every one of our lives. That God, wherever we live, wherever in school, work, family, friends, the people you've placed us around, that you have a deep love for them and a desire to be restored back into that father-child relationship, and that you've called us to be a part of that restoration. So God, teach us to trust you, to follow you, Lord God, in your mission. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, as we close today, a couple of things. One, we have a prayer team, prayer ministers up here if you want prayer. We believe in the power of prayer and love seeing what God does through prayer. We'd love to stand with you in prayer and pray together. The Bible says when two or three agree together, there's just extra power in our prayers through those relationships. I also want to just remind you, next week, if you serve in the church here, we have a special leaders meeting with Pastor Sean and Josker. And they're just amazing. The strength of Pastor Sean's life has been his ability to just live a healthy life with raising a great family of four kids, excelling in his career, while also being a pastor starting churches and overseeing 18 churches now in Malaysia. And so somehow he's able to balance all that and look like he's having fun doing it, you know, and his kids love it. And so there's something about that, just learning how do you live a healthy lifestyle, and how do you find that kind of balance where you can really excel in work, you can excel in family, and you can excel in ministry. And so that's going to be next Saturday, 9:30 to 12. And then 12:30, we're going to have a special lunch with Josker, who's also an amazing businessman. He's kind of the opposite of Pastor Sean. Pastor Sean was like the golden boy. you know, went to the good school, student body president, you know, honors graduate, got with big companies. Josker, I don't think he graduated from high school. He got kicked out because he joined gangs, and then almost died when he was ambushed by a bunch of guys with knives. But then almost dying helped him realize that being in a gang maybe is not the way to go at age 17. And so he turned his life around. I don't think he ever did graduate from high school, but he decided to go into business instead. Has built a number of companies, and now he has, he's consulted with over 200 companies, 23 different industries. So he just helps companies. He speaks to CEOs of companies of $5 million or more. And so he's just an amazing businessman, but also his life is built on John chapter 10, verse 10, to help people find abundance in life. He says, my goal is not to help people's profit and loss. My hope is, my goal is to help people find their purpose and life in Christ. And that's why he does business. And so he's got just an amazing testimony. So he's going to do a lunch next Saturday, and he'll be preaching in the Chinese service. But anyway, so I encourage you, make time for that. The Lord bless you. Our prayer for you is that this week you would start off by just, there would come an internal revelation or consciousness of how much God loves you, how he sees you as a son and a daughter, and his deep desire is just to walk in close relationship with you, because that's where it all begins. So the Lord bless you. Thanks for being with us today. We'll see you next Sunday.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.